Yeah, it's there. Turn your Bibles though to Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to be here this morning. This thing moves, huh? A little bit. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read here this morning, starting in verse 21, I believe, to the end of the chapter here. And I'm just going to read that, and you can follow along or listen if you're not there yet. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descends, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was found on the rock. But anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descend, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall." And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings. For he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. Let's look into these verses here this morning. I'm not going to pray to start because we prayed already. Corky prayed for us. But I want to start out this. We've read this portion of Scripture, and last week I kind of gave you a general synopsis of what the vision that I'm seeing for Wadman's Baptist Church. And what was that vision? That we would be what? A light, right? A light. And as we're looking into that vision of being a light, I've even looked into it a little bit deeper. So we're going to look at this vision a little bit. There's three distinct subcategories of being light that I want us to think of when we're being light, okay? And the vision goes like this. The first one is we're light to our families. What is it for us to go out and proclaim a light to a world that we don't do ourselves and our families personally? We got to start here first, right? So we need to be a light to our families, and then the next category is we need to be a light to our community. So first of all, we're gonna practice what we're preaching here, and then we're going to take it and we're going to go to our community. And then you're thinking, well, our community, well, I live 20 miles away in this community, and take it to your community. Who says you have to drive the Wadhams to share the gospel? No one did. Be the light where you're at in your community. And if they ask you where you go to church, you can say, I go to Wadhams Baptist Church. Maybe they'll drive 20 miles to come to church too. I don't know. It's weird. The Holy Spirit does its own work. If they're supposed to be here, God will bring them here. We don't worry about that. We worry about the job that God has given us to be the light. So we need to be a light to our families. We need to be a light to our community. And then the third one is, if I can get it to work, light to the world. This can be in many forms, light to the world. But if we reach our community as a light with the gospel, our world will be reached with a light as well. It's a funny thing when you're saved and you know God, you want to tell people about it. So those of you that don't want to tell people about it, check yourselves this morning. Because even when Jesus tells, I think it was the lepers, don't say anything, don't tell them who I am and what I've done, what did they do? They went and told anyway. Why? Because they were so blessed what Jesus did for them, they had to tell. They had no choice. They had no option. And when you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the way we should be. You understand we were headed for hell. We were headed for eternal damnation. And Jesus saved us. Amen? So this is our vision. Hopefully everybody agrees with this vision. I hope. We'll find out. But this is biblical. If you look, and I'm not going to go there specifically today and preach about it, but take your Bibles this week and read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and see what God told the disciples directly to do. Okay? And it's something about being witnesses in certain areas. And take that and read it and see if it lines up with what this vision calls for. Because we equated discipleship as believers, and we're believers, so what should we do? We should be doing what God called disciples to do. So, here we go. With that being said, think about this vision of being light. Remember last week, we talked about the first step in becoming the light, right? Does anybody remember what that first step was? I know, I'm taxing myself. It's been 7 days, right? And you're like, Pastor, I don't remember. Well, you got to understand. See, I build on everything, so you need to stay with me. All right? And if you miss a couple weeks, you're going to be lost. So you need to call somebody and ask what the message was or something so you can catch up. But anyways, this is Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. The first verse, man, this thing is just not... The first step to being the light was what? Salvation. Last week, we clearly portrayed that. Salvation is pivotal in order to be the light for God or be a light. You have to have salvation. This week, we're going to talk about the second step of being the light. You're like, well, wait a second. You mean there's a second step? Absolutely, there is. But let's look at this verse, and I skipped my slide, and that's okay. I'll get to that later. I had computer issues this week, and if anybody wants to know about that story, I'll tell you about that later. Just ask me about it. But anyways, verse 21, let's just look at this verse. If you look at this verse and you just read that verse, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So you can lose your salvation, right? If you talk to somebody who believes that doctrine, they'll use this verse. Almost without a doubt, they'll come to it eventually. But that's not what this is talking about. Actually, this is talking about not having salvation at all. It's making it look like you have salvation, but you don't really have it. You say the words, you kind of act like it when people are watching, but it's not changing in your heart. It's not living and active. You don't have a relationship with God. Here in the next verse in chapter verse 22, he actually goes on and says, many will say that in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied. What does prophesied mean in the New Testament? Teach. Teachers will say, we've prophesied. It even says, we've cast out demons in your name. And we've done many wonders in your name. And what does he say? I don't know you. Verse 23 says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You've got to understand, okay, we've talked about this context thing and history and understanding a passage. I have to talk to you about this in chapter 7. Why Jesus was talking here, and when the people were listening, they were astonished, as it says at the end, right? If you jump to the end, it says what? Verse 28, it says, and so when Jesus had ended his sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. And verse 29, it says, and he taught them as one having authority, not as a scribe. What's a scribe? Jewish scribe is what? One who writes the word of God, knows the word of God, and actually is a Jewish teacher, right? But what was the problem with the scribes? They knew the word, they wrote the word, but they what? They didn't do the word. They only did the word when people watched. And they actually manipulated it to fit whatever they wanted it to fit. See, and that's what's happening in this world today. People are taking the gospel of God and manipulating it for what their uses of it is. They don't follow the word of God. And they might even call themselves a Christian. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about here when he's talking to these people, and they're listening on edge and thinking, wow. Do you hear what he's saying? I'm sure some of those people are thinking these scribes and Pharisees are in trouble. They don't have as much of the authority as Jesus has. And Jesus was actually calling those scribes and those Pharisees out saying, hey, you don't just need to say it. You don't just need to write it. You don't just need to be there, but you need to be doing what God has called us to do. And that's living the word of God. So, with that being said, hopefully this works. The second step of being the light, and you all wonder what this is, right? What word could I come up with? It's a one word. Obedience. The second step to being the light is obedience. You think, well, that's so easy, Pastor. Oh, obedience, simple. You know, I remember in kindergarten we learned that song, O-B-E-I-E-N-C-E, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Right? Anybody know that song? Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to make you all look foolish here this morning, but anyway. I guess you didn't go to Christian school. I don't know. But anyways, I learned that song as a kindergartner. Right? We sang it, obedience, obedience. And you know what? We as parents expect our kids to obey us. Does that always happen? It doesn't. Sometimes we perceive that it's simple for us to obey as parents. We think what we ask of our kids is easy, right? And then they don't do it and they think it's hard. What do you think God's like? He thinks, man, I made it so easy, so plain, and what do we do? We make it hard, or we simply don't obey. Obedience, you can kind of think that this is a simple thing, but it's not. It's kind of complex, because people always add to things. God asks us to obey, and what does he want us to obey? What is Jesus talking about in Matthew that he wants these people to obey? If you look in that one verse, it says lawless, right? What does lawless mean? They're living without the law. What law? God's law. The scribes and Pharisees actually manipulated the law to fit their satisfaction of what they wanted to do. And Jesus knew that. That's why he talks about this. He attacks it right in. You know, some of you have come to me and said, a couple of my messages, I've stepped on your toes. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. I'm right here. Who's stepping on your toes? God's stepping on your toes, apparently. See, we pastors or teachers or preachers of the truth get accused all the time of being too direct, and how did you know what I was going through? And how dare you preach something like that because I'm dealing with that? Well, folks, why do you think God brings us messages? He wants to keep you where you're at, or does he want to advance you? Right? So look at that perspective as a church, as a congregation. Do we want to stay right where we're at? Or do we want to advance? The first step was salvation, and I'm not saying there's anybody unsaved here, but there could be here this morning. The second step is obedience, and we're going to get into the depth about this obedience. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and the NLT reads this, and I like how it says it. Not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether or not they obey my what? Father in heaven. And that doesn't mean you obey from 11 to 12 on Sunday morning only. That means you obey all the time, as best as you can, because we're all sinners, right? But we don't just set a 1 hour that we're going to follow God and the rest of our life we're going to do what we want. This word I want to point out to you here this morning, religious. Christianity is not a religion. You can all say here, well, what do you mean, Pastor? It's not. Christianity is a relationship with God, and there's a difference. There's a difference. When people come up to me and they say, oh, I'm a religious person, and I start talking to them, I say, well, that's the first problem. Well, you're religious, aren't you? And I'll say, no. And they'll be like dumbfounded. I'm not following what I believe to think is true. I know and believe is truth. And I have a relationship with my Creator, my God. I'm not hoping that I'm right. I believe I'm right. I have faith that I'm right. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. Now look here. I want to look at some other passages, and I apologize, men. I know. We've been going through 1 John, and I've really had to constrain myself quite a bit in Bible study on Saturday because the overlapping of topics and what we've discussed is like nail on the head. And even in Sunday school, there's great overlap here, and it's amazing how God works because we didn't sit down and say, okay, guys, Gary, you're going to teach this. Don, you're going to teach this. And we're all going to interweave this together. No? Gary picked whatever with the men's Bible study. Don had answers in Genesis thing going and they're following thing. And it's just meshing like it's supposed to. This microphone is just making all sorts of noise. I don't know what the deal is. But anyways, 1 John 3:22 and 24 says this. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In verse 23 it says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. I'm going to go back here for a minute. If we look at this verse here, whatever we ask, we receive. Again, I'm going to point out, because you're going to have people that are going to point this out. When you read that verse and you just read it separately from everything else, don't know context, don't know 1 John, you'll look at this and you'll say, we'll get everything we want. God is a genie. Right? Isn't that what that says? God's going to give us everything we ask for because we're his. We believe on him, so he's going to give us everything we ask for. No, that's not what that says. Actually, they like to disconnect, and I talked about this in Sunday school. Unbelievers like to disconnect things. They like to disconnect the Trinity because they don't like the whole three-person, one-God thing. They don't like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They like to divide it. And the same is with people with the Bible. They like to divide verses. They'll give you three words and say, see, that proves my point. That's not true. We got to make sure that we take it all together. And see, at this verse, it says, because we keep his commandments. The key and pivotal thing is if we ask God for something, we want to be doing the will of God. Is that not true? And how do we do the will of God? We do what he tells us to do, eh? Here, these commandments can be linked back to Old Testament commands, but it can be New Testament commands as well. And here's the deal. Is if we are following what God says, we're keeping his commandments, we are not going to ask something of God that's totally going to be off the wall, right? I want a plasma 70-inch screen TV, Lord. I know you're going to answer my prayer because I believe you. No, that ain't how it works. Now, if there was a need for that 70-inch plasma and we prayed for it for its purpose to glorify God and be used in His service for a purpose for God, we'll probably get a 70-inch plasma TV. Now, I'm going to use an object in my personal life that I had happen in my life. I like to give personal stories because personal things make it more personal to you. But as a teenager, I sang in a singing group, and you're all like, what? Yeah, anyway. And we would sing in all area churches in the Tri-County area where I grew up. And this ministry was started in a barn, actually. And it was a Christian group, and we were called Sunrise Ministry Singers and Players. Well, after some time of playing in the barn, the farmer said, you know what, I really like my barn back. So they said, well, what are we going to do? We want to continue this ministry, but we don't really have a place to play out our music. So what do? Someone suggested, hey, why don't we go on the road? You know, get a vehicle, put all our stuff in the vehicle, go to church or whatever venue will have us and proclaim the word of God through song. So that's what they did. They got a bus. Somebody donated a bus. They made it, and they had sound and lighting equipment, all this stuff. When I came on the scene in 1997, this ministry had been going on for like 15 years before I came on the scene. We had this old beat-up 1971 GMC bus that was painted like a red, white, and blue. It was crazy colors. Bus, I mean, you could see it coming from way far away. And the rust was unreal in it. You could put your hand through the side panel. It was just crazy. And actually, we kept getting it fixed and running it, and we'd run it back and forth to Harrisburg, from Pittsburgh to Harrisburg, and that was pretty dangerous. But anyways, we did that a couple times, and I guess someone must have caught wind that we were traveling quite a distance with this bus. So the Department of Transportation for the state of Pennsylvania wrote us a personal letter stating we were no longer allowed to use our vehicle on the road. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? You don't really want to cross the DOT if they send you a personal letter saying you shouldn't do something. So our ministry was at a point where we were kind of like scrabbling and trying to figure out what was going to go on, right? So we had a little bit of money, and I'm talking a little bit of money. So we started searching around, and there were bus auctions and different things, and every option we were looking at just seemed to like fall apart. And I remember every week going into Sunday school class, raising my hand, and I remember my Sunday school teacher going, yes, Stuart, what would you like to pray for today? And he almost knew it. Automatically, I said, Sunrise needs a bus. We need to pray that the Lord would provide a bus, if it's His will, so we continue this ministry. Okay, Stuart, I'll put it on the list again. And I this over and over again. So through all that time, we're coming up to the cutoff date where PennDOT said, you have to have this bus off the road at this time. You don't have any other option. We're stuck. Just so happened that some people were called and contacted and different things happened. And the guy who bought the school buses and leased the school buses to the Christian school that I went to donated a bus to our ministry. Now you can think, well, Pastor, that's just coincidence, right? But see, here's the deal. If God didn't want the ministry to go on, He wouldn't have provided it. God's not going to do something that we ask for just because we want it. God will do it if it's in His parameters of His will and what He commands us to do. So we need to look at this verse and realize, okay, we need to be obedient to God. Why do we need to be obedient to God? We need to keep His commandments. I was telling the guys yesterday, and I did speak up about this. I said that word keep in the Old King James or New King James is a Greek word, and it actually means to maintain. So if you maintain commandments, what does that mean? You have them in you. You believe them to begin with. And you're going to keep striving to do what they tell you to do. You don't just conjure up that I'm going to start doing this and doing that or whatever. When we have the Holy Spirit, He's within us. He's going to direct. He's going to lead us. We're going to maintain our direction, our obedience to God. So our first step is salvation. Our second step is obedience. The NLT reads this: if we will receive whatever we request because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. Okay? So take that into context. What I pray for is because I obey God. I pray for what we need so that I can obey Him. So I can fulfill what He's commanded of me to do. Obedience. Some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, okay, we're getting it. We understand. Obedience, okay, it's an easy word. Just move on. No, you got to get this. I'm telling you. Because I know in my personal life, I say obedience, and I think, oh, that's simple. And then I fail. Yes, Pastor Stu fails. Big newsflash. Right? I'm a sinner just like you. So I have to understand what my obedience is in. It's in God. Now look here. Those who obey God's commandments live in fellowship with Him. Fellowship with Him. Fellowship. What's the difference between fellowship and knowing? I'll look at it this way. I have a good friend that I knew from second grade. His name was Heath. Good friend of mine. I consider him my bestest friend from grade school. Now, if I just know of Heath, I'd have known he was in my class. And I'd known he would have been in my class from second grade to 12th grade. But there was a difference between me and Heath because we built a relationship, or you could say fellowship one with another, that when we did things, we asked each other to do it with us. Play softball, play baseball, come over, watch movies. I remember going to his house for his birthday one time and I cut this finger with a penknife and got 4 stitches. And when Heath got married finally, it seemed like it took forever, he actually called me and said, hey, come be in the wedding. Because I had a relationship with him. It just wasn't just I knew who he was, but I had a relationship. Same with us with God. We can't just say, oh yeah, God's out there. Yeah, I believe He's out there. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross. That's good. Yeah, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know His characteristics. He wants us to know how He works with us. Why does He give us the Bible, people? He wants us to know how He works. Why did He give us the example of Israel? Because we're just like them. We will receive whatever we request because we obey Him, not because we want something. Am I going backwards? Might be. Okay, John 5, 2 and 3, it says this. By this we know that we love the children of God. Okay, so we're going to be a light to our families. We're going to be a light to our community. We're going to be a light to our world. Here it says here, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments, that word keep comes up again. It's the same word in the Greek. to maintain his commands. For this is the love of God, that we keep, again, he says it again, the next verse, keep what? His commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. What? His commandments are not burdensome. Why are they not burdensome? We Christians act like God's commandments are burdensome, right? I was sitting talking to somebody the other day, and I was trying to get to know them, so I was asking them questions about their life, and they were asking questions about my life. And when everybody gives me an opportunity to tell, you know, like, well, how did you become a Christian? I don't stop at, I was 7 years old, and I asked Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and that's it. I just roll with it, man. I give them right up to the present time, right? To give them a picture of how God works in my life. Because I have a relationship with him. And when I'm in tune with God and doing and letting the Spirit work within me, and I have that relationship that God asks of us, then it's not a burdensome task. You know, I tell the story when we moved to North Carolina. We were chasing dreams. Tiffany wanted to be a school teacher, and Pennsylvania is so political, it's unreal. And she got a job in North Carolina, and we packed up the truck and moved down there. And we got down there, and we were in the Bible Belt. And I'm telling you, Bible Belt. I mean, every quarter of a mile, there's a Baptist church. There's more churches than you can imagine. And they don't just have churches. They have what they call mega churches. Craziness. But anyway, I remember waking up and rolling over on Sunday morning, looking at Tiffany and go, which one are we going to today? Which one are we going to today? Which one are we going to today? And it wasn't necessarily a burdensome thing. It was God wanted me to be somewhere in fellowship, and I wanted to go. It's just I was overwhelmed with all the options. But you know what? After about a year and a half, it really got where it felt burdensome because I wasn't finding what really I was looking for. And I was looking to be plugged in. I didn't want to be a I didn't want to be a seat warmer. I didn't just want to sit in a pew, come in and grab my kid and run out the door. I wanted to be involved. I had to submit to God a little bit there and say, okay, in your timing, in your will, what you would have us to do. But we found a place. But if we're in the Holy Spirit and we're doing what God wants us to do, we're fulfilling his law, his word, it's not burdensome to us. Shouldn't be. You know what? When it becomes burdensome, when we reject what God has for us, because we come up with the excuse, we cover it up, we avoid it. You know, it is so hard to cover up a lie, is it not? It's more work than just taking the punishment. But yet we still do it. But God calls us to obedience. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Obey instead of keep. Same here. Loving God means keeping his commandments. And really, that isn't that difficult. So my question is to you all here at Walnut Baptist Church is my application. Here's a big one. You have salvation and you love the Lord, you will obey what he has commanded us in his word. That's an easy application, is it not? That's pretty wordy. Let me make it simple for you. Is that simple enough? If you didn't like my wordy one, then we'll just use this one. God calls us to obedience. And in order to be a light to our families, to our community, to our world, we have to obey. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we know in our hearts that we must obey you. And I pray today, Lord, that everyone here is obeying you. I pray that there's not one here floundering around, that they're trusting in your word. And I pray, Lord, as we commit to being a light to our families, to our community, to the world, that we will grow in greater obedience to you. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
320 in your hymn books. We'll sing the first and the fifth verse.